Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, November 21st, the day before Thanksgiving. We're back on the air after a day. I figured I'll start fast for a while, for a change, you know? What the hell?
What do you mean?
Oh, mic's not on.
Yeah, where are you?
Okay, we're good.
I figured I'd just like talk really fast in the beginning, you know, so I can just kind of like merge into the tempo or whatever of what's going on. I don't know what I'm talking about. I did get enough sleep. Maybe my body's not used to it. You know? I actually got 8 hours of sleep, you know.
That's good.
Yeah, I know.
You get like 4 or 5,
for the
right?
first time in like, who knows how long.
I got like 8 hours.
Right.
Yeah, I went to bed at like 11:30.
Good for you. You see, like the night before last, I went to sleep at 3. And then I get up at 7:30 and I go, wait a minute, we don't have a guest. I don't have an immediate thing right after the show. Let's just cancel it, keep sleeping. Enjoy ourselves.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what happened yesterday. But that was good because today we have special guests in the studio whom I did not mark down are going to be here. So are we ever lucky to be here? Well, we're always here, right?
Yeah.
We never really cancel or anything. So.
Yeah, usually it's you, not me.
Well, what do you mean usually? How many times have we canceled? Maybe once?
Yeah, maybe like twice.
Yeah, maybe when
very
I was
rarely.
Sick, maybe. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Very rarely.
But you never cancel, and I appreciate that, you know.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this morning. We have a couple of guests here in the studio, and that's why we're on Facebook Live today. So if you want to see us, you can. And remember, we only show Facebook Live when we have beautiful guests in the studio. The rest, not so important. So you know what we're promising you. We're going to talk about a short film today, fascinating. I saw the trailer, and it looks pretty good, so we'll bring him on in just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
There's been reports you've been crying on Instagram.
Okay, that was days ago.
Really? But your eyes still look like you've been crying. Did you cry?
No, I haven't cried in like maybe a day and a half.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm just like, I keep seeing it, you know, your eyes being puffy. And
I know, that's probably just because I was crying so hard. It's like still the aftermath.
It stayed with you?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Casey said that too. He's like, why are you crying? I was like, I didn't cry. I haven't cried in like 24 hours.
Oh God. Thank goodness. So you went and you cried on Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
About the guy, of course, right?
Uh-huh.
What else could it be?
That's it.
I mean, I just saw you crying, and I don't have audio when I watch that stuff. So, but I figured, what else could it be about?
Yeah.
When I looked, there were 60,000 views. How many are there now?
Like 65,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It'll probably get up to 100.
So you go and you cry your heart out in front of 65,000 people.
Yeah.
That doesn't bother you?
No.
You like it.
No, I don't like it, but like, you know how many DMs I got that helped people? So
yeah.
Many girls are going through the same thing. I'm just here to tell you, girl, like, cry it out.
Yeah.
You'll be good.
Okay. Are you good?
No, not yet. I will be, though. Like, I'll fine eventually.
Yeah.
I'm not fine right now. I'm not crying anymore. I'm still kind of messed up a little bit.
Yeah. He
I
messed
probably
you
will
up.
Be.
He messed you up big time, and you allowed it. But, yeah, everybody's getting... I mean, Casey and I, we just mentioned it, and we're frustrated because you're not listening to anybody.
Everyone in my life is frustrated. Yeah. It happens when you think that you're in love. You don't listen to anybody.
Yeah,
like
you
yourself.
Think you're in love.
Yeah, think.
Yeah.
Keyword thing.
Because you built the whole dream in front of you, you know? It's like you thought a whole story. Here we are, married with kids and everything, right?
The only thing helping me get over it is I know wherever he's at, whatever he's doing, whether that be with another female, at work, enjoying his life, like he doesn't care at all that I'm feeling this shitty.
Yeah, no, it doesn't because he doesn't care.
No.
Yeah.
So I'll be good.
Yeah, you'll be good.
I hate that tomorrow's a holiday, but I'll be fine. I promise.
Just go out to a club or something, you'll be fine.
No, you know what?
You always suppress your pain by going to clubs and stuff, it seems.
Yeah, sometimes. I'm not going out this week, though.
No?
No. I actually started writing a movie.
Ah, there you go. Well, you have a book already. You haven't done anything with that.
And I'll probably write a whole movie and do nothing with that, too.
Right, there you go. You see, so you need someone to to mentor you or something.
Actually, you know? I have a friend. I know this guy who's a producer. He's mm-hmm. produced like a lot of films. Like Mark Wahlberg's been in his films. Like a lot of people. And I said, hey, if I finish this movie, mm-hmm. can you read it and maybe give it a shot?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah.
Okay, well, he'll so give
wrote,
it a shot.
I wrote 10 scenes in one day.
Really?
And a movie's like 60. So I got a long way to go. But I figured if I can do 10 scenes a day, uh-huh. I get it done in 5 days.
What's the rush? Make it the right film. Yeah, we have a filmmaker who's laughing to death here because he knows the reality of it all. But
at least the first draft.
Yeah.
Then go back and fix it.
Yeah. Girl, you fantasize a lot. You need to put that into action, you know?
I know. But if I'm not doing anything, I mean, what do you mean fantasize a lot?
You think about all these things that could happen and all that, but... But you do only halfway. You don't go all the way.
I know. Like my book. Yeah. It's been done since last January.
Right. And, you know, so what's your rush about doing the film, writing the film? Probably take you a few years to get it done, too. So.
No, never.
No?
God, a few years.
Okay. Well, I don't know. No, I mean, once you wrote it.
Oh, you mean like if I do anything with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I need to stop being lazy.
Yeah, you do.
Like, I don't know why I'm so lazy.
What do you think's making you lazy? Maybe all the drinking and the smoking.
Okay, settle down.
Well, it is. It definitely doesn't motivate a person.
No. Yeah. No, definitely not. I mean, I haven't smoked in like a couple of days.
Right. But you've been drinking.
I drink wine, yeah.
Yeah, you see, there you go. They'll demotivate you.
Just makes me tired.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be in the middle of writing. I'm like, all right, good night. Probably could have gotten way more done if I hadn't drank, for sure.
Yeah. So we're going to get to our guests in just a moment. I just wanted to bring this up because this is heinous, okay? And people need to know about this. An L.A. sex crimes deputy is being held on suspicion of rape of a teenage girl.
I mean, is that a shock?
So this is like the guy that solves these things.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he rapes her and she's 14 years old.
Yeah, he's trash.
And then he's accused of, pressuring her. Not to report it or anything like that, you know. So now he's been put on leave with pay.
Of course.
45 years old and...
45 years old and he raped a 14-year-old?
Right.
And that's probably not the first time he's raped either.
Just think how many crimes he's committed here, you know? Sex with a teenager, with a minor, rape.
Mm-hmm.
What about all the stuff that goes with his work?
Right.
You know?
Was she arrested? The female that
the
he
girl?
Raped.
No, yeah. Why would she be arrested?
So how did he even get into contact with her?
I don't know. I didn't really read that deep, but he got in touch with her. I don't know. Maybe she was reported. Maybe he was investigating something. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Isn't that like the worst? I mean, the girl suffers like... all this trauma and stuff, and then he goes and adds to it mm-hmm. and kills the soul.
But at least she spoke up. Most people wouldn't, because a lot of people are intimidated by cops.
Yeah.
Before we introduce our guests, I just also want to bring up something heinous.
Yes.
When Donald Trump did his interview, and he was like called Paradise Pleasure 4 times, and someone had to correct him.
Right.
Like, you idiot. Like, you don't even know where you are right now. Therefore, you don't care. Like, the guy behind him was like, it's paradise.
Yeah.
I felt so, I was literally on my phone pissing my pants because, like, this guy can't be serious.
I know. He gets a lot of brain farts. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him, but.
Pleasure is horrible. It's horrible right now. I'm like, oh.
He's got a million things on his mind, you know? I mean, you know, to sort these things out, but. What can I say? I'm not going to defend Donald Trump.
Yeah, no.
All right. We're going to bring on our guests right now who are sitting here patiently. And we have a couple of filmmakers. We're joined by Richard Raymond. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Hello.
And Nusha, of course. What, do you have the same last name?
Yeah.
Nusha Raymond. Okay. So, well, she does because they were married. But
were then, or are?
Well, they got married.
They are married.
Yeah, they I was like, married. Were or are? Let's not make this
don't
longer.
Don't leave me.
They were married at a certain point to each other. Well, I don't know. What am I trying to say? Fuck it, man. I've been getting brain farts too this morning. But so welcome to the show, guys. And so we're going to talk about your film right now. I wanted to say that you guys were referred by Catherine. And I always say this to our guests that are referred by her, because nearly every one of them are nominated for Oscars and stuff. And many times they win. So I think you're in the right hands. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
She's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's every time I speak with Catherine, who's the publicist in London,
right.
I just feel so happy and confident.
Yeah, no, she
for
helped.
Sure.
She knows what London to do, and Claire. She picks up the good clients, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me bring this up for you a little bit so we can hear you.
There we go.
All right, cool. And so you guys made a film called Totality. Souls of Totality. They're like, what fucking show did we go to? This guy can't talk.
I'm just like sitting back like, ha.
It just shows you I didn't have any time to prepare, man.
Souls of Totality.
And so let's find out a little bit about the film, and then we'll go back and figure out how it all happened. So what's the film about?
And Orphan Black, mm-hmm. Which she won the Emmy for Best Actress for a couple of years ago. And her real-life partner, Tom Cullen, who's an incredible actor. He's British. He's currently on the show Nightfall. And uh-huh. People might know him also from a variety of feature films and the show Downton Abbey. And the film is essentially about a looming moment that can change everything and the sacrifices that we make for love. It's filmed during an actual solar eclipse that happened, the Great American Eclipse,
uh-huh.
that happened last year. And we used NASA coordinates and we timed everything to the second and rehearsed for many days to capture the end of the film. But it's a love story. And if I say too much more,
right.
it will ruin it.
For exactly.
Me. We like don't ruinings. Want to.
Because it is a short film and you don't want to give it all away.
Yeah.
But we should play, there's a minute long trailer that we should play.
I mean, you should probably and play it because I didn't see it.
No, but you don't have to see it because the audio is good
That's
enough
what
to
I'm
describe.
Saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm on the same page. We're in the same boat.
So, Souls of Totality, take a listen just to get an idea of what the film's about. It's very dramatic. And we'll continue right. with our guests after this.
You hear that?
Yeah. Sounds like drumming.
And they say it scares away the darkness.
That's a
Hold
film.
On, we're fucking up.
You actually just started playing the entire movie.
Wait a minute, they gave me.
Oh man.
Okay, you know fine. What? That's
we,
not
we
the link
watch,
they gave
we can
me.
Listen to the entire. There's a lot of dialogue.
No, you know what I think
that
happened.
Quite witty.
I did like a play again thing. I mean, what the hell's going on? Okay, let me click on this link again, and I'll get to the. Yeah, this is like weird. You know.
There you go.
Okay, here's a tweet. Oh, good.
Is this the actual trailer?
Yeah.
At this moment, you are the most important person in the world. If you're hearing this, you have been chosen to stay behind and shepherd the next family of souls. I know what you're feeling. During your time on this earth, you've grown to love your chosen family. It's not easy to shrug off these connections, but you must. You must let them go. Don't make this harder than it already is. This is bigger than you. Remember what you've learned. The universe is always talking to you. You just have to make sure you're listening.
Oh boy.
If I was like, I couldn't see it, but if I was just listening to that on the radio right now, I think that was like about a cult.
You are correct.
Okay.
Wow.
That's how much I watch movies.
Good. Yeah, she's a good movie buff.
Yeah.
Did you see the Netflix series Wild Wild Country?
No.
You should check it out. It's amazing.
Really? I've never even seen that.
What That's... about The Land Before Time?
With the dinosaurs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Film?
So that woman's voice, who you just heard, was Littlefoot's mom in The Land Before Time.
Okay.
Helen Shaver.
So I know that's where I took you back to that time.
Yeah. That's a great film.
Yeah.
I love that movie.
The reason I brought up Wild Wild Country is because we filmed 7 miles from where that actually happened. And it's... When you watch that series, it's one of the most popular series on Netflix.
Really? Because yeah. I like they usually do suggestions, and that's never popped up for me. Even when I'm scrolling, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Depends what your algorithm is picking up that you're watching.
Right.
Yeah,
that's true,
right?
But mine is off. I watch everything and anything.
Yeah.
Except for documentaries. Sorry.
We're at the mercy of the machines and the algorithms,
Absolutely.
You know. And this is just the beginning. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've been reading a lot about the future, and it doesn't look very good.
Definitely.
Yeah. So, Richard, this is cool. So, you didn't tell us about the cult part, but that's what we need to find out watching the film, right?
I'll give away this much. It is the story of a couple that are having a secret relationship inside of a cult.
Oh, okay.
And then they fall in love and they want to break free from the cult, and the ending is how they get away.
No.
Bam. No.
No.
Fuck. No, you see? Yeah.
It's the story about abandoning your expectations. It's the story about having, you know, the sacrifices that you make for love. Wow. And what these two have to do. This is a cult that believes in that something is going to happen with the impending eclipse.
I see. So the eclipse obviously is a big part of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Now, so you planned it that way. Did you get the idea from the eclipse? I mean, the upcoming eclipse, you thought, well, maybe we can make a movie out of this. So did you already have a movie about the eclipse?
You guys are like prophets.
Yeah.
That is exactly.
Really?
Yeah, well... Noosh and I, we had a baby girl,
yeah.
And we had a babysitter for a few nights, and she was from Oregon. And she said to us, so the film happened in a very organic way. She said to us, look, guys, in 6 weeks' time, there's going to be a solar eclipse that's passing right over where my dad lives, where my family house is in Oregon. All the hotels all have been booked out for 2 years. There's nowhere to stay because everyone was going into what they call the path of totality.
Right.
So they could see the full total solar eclipse. Oh. And she said, look, come camping in our garden, in our yard, and you can see the eclipse. And we said, sure. Two friends of ours, Ben Bollé and Kate Treefry. Kate Treefry is a writer of Stranger Things on TV.
Okay, yeah.
And
yeah,
Ben's
yeah.
a husband who's also a great writer, done many films. They were going to go up, and they said, oh, let's all go together. We'll all go camping together. A couple of weeks later, we had dinner with the actors who moved to Los Feliz. And we had a dinner to welcome them. And I told them about this trip that we were going to go up to see the eclipse. And Tatiana Maslany and Tom Cullen were like, we want to come. Let's all go camping together.
Right.
Wow. I'm sitting at dinner and I'm thinking, hang on a minute. You know, we have writers, we have actors. I'm a director. We should make a film.
Oh,
cool. And Tatiana was especially intrigued because you only have one take.
Right.
If you're going to shoot a sequence during a never repeatable moment,
right.
with an impending deadline by the universe, you can't screw it up.
Right.
And if you did, it's all for nothing. So so she was up for it. Her passion is theater. So Noosha and I, we literally the next day we went up to Oregon. And the nanny's dad, Mike Tague, who I ended up casting in the film as the cult leader.
Oh,
he has
okay.
this intense face. He's a beautiful soul, though.
Yeah.
He drove us around, introduced us to his farmer friends. We found the locations. I took photographs of the locations, emailed them to the writers, and bless their creative wisdom, 2 weeks before the eclipse, they handed us the script to Salza to tell it. And so it was up to... We had some incredible producers come on board. John Treefry, James Mitchell from the production company 4WT Media here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
They crewed it up. Noosh raised all the money.
Really? So you're the producer of the film, right?
Yeah.
So have you had experience... raising money for films?
So actually, I'm a nurse at my day job. Yeah, uh-huh. And I've always been inspired by Richard and all of his creativity. And so it was the first time we were able to do a film together, and I was given this chance to be a part of it. So I was so excited. Oh. So I basically called a couple of friends that I knew would love to be a part of seeing a total eclipse because it's, you know, the first in America that had happened in over 100 years. So I called them up, and they had seen Richard's previous feature film, and they loved it, and they believed in all of his creative ways. So mm-hmm. they're like, anything he does, we're in full support of. And next thing you know, we had the money for the film.
Wow.
They were there with their two boys and their husband and wife couple, and we were all just on this farm together camping and became our own little cult, basically.
Yeah, so
she's been very humble about it. It's hard work to raise money for a film, as anyone could say.
They trust me. I mean, I've been, you know, I've known them for years and years and years, and I feel like sometimes you also, like, they trusted me also because they knew that you were creatively going to create something that would be worth their investment.
Right.
But I think the thing
Well, obviously, they trusted both of you, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you don't put your money up, you know, if you don't think it's going to actually do something, you know?
I've always found that no one ever invests in films to make money. If someone wants to make money, they'll invest in a house or
something
else.
Right, right.
People put money into films for something else, for an experience, for a life experience, to be part of something.
That's true.
And this family, they were a blessing from heaven for us. And
truly.
But in a sense, they were going to go on holiday, and they chose this to be their family holiday.
Right.
And they Aww. Said it was the best family holiday.
Because it brought everyone so close together.
It brought
together.
Everyone so close right. together.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of us. Like, we all became like a little family. And it was just like my daughter, who was at the time only 1.5, was running around with their boys and playing, who were, I mean, I can't remember. They were like 11 and 12 at the time.
Uh-huh.
Or 13 and 14. But they were.
How
like,
long ago was this?
August 21st, last
okay,
year.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Were you in LA for the solar eclipse?
Yeah, but like, I don't know what
it
I was
got,
doing.
It just got slightly faded. Like, it looked yeah. like a little bit like a deep cloud came over. But
right.
in Oregon, it went from a bright, sunny sky to pitch dark.
Really? Like,
and afterwards,
totally
like, I just was like, what just happened when the eclipse had passed? Like, I had tears streaming down my face because you had just experienced something energetically
right.
shift
really?
In the atmosphere. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, the animals are going crazy. The birds are flying
wow,
in the air.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Wow, so there's something to it, huh? Wow. Very
and,
cool.
And solar eclipses, as we've come to become obsessed with them,
yeah.
Are unique to our planet in our galaxy as far as we know, and unique to this time on Earth, because millions of years ago the moon was much further away.
Oh. Right.
So it's only at this, and in millions of years time the moon will be much closer to the Earth.
Right.
So it's only at this time on in
our lifetime,
in our
maybe
lifetime, in the human race's period on the
oh
Earth,
okay, that's a big
that
deal,
the moon and the sun appear in the sky to be the exact same size.
Right.
And that's what the eclipse is.
Right.
And so it's this incredibly unique event as far as we know.
Rich right. has become an astronomer in his daytime.
Yeah. I can imagine. I mean, I would be too, you know. So that's what the totality means, right? It's
yes.
like totally covered.
When the moon completely covers the sun.
Right.
So that's why we were in that darkness. But you had, it's in this small little path. And
it's
that's
like a
30-mile...
wide band.
Right.
And so everyone in the United States was trying to get to that band. It was nuts.
There was no flights available.
Really?
There was no flights. Everything was booked out. People had to drive. Half the crew had to drive up on a bus that they rented.
But, really?
But they didn't sleep for like...
Wow. So everybody went to Oregon to see this?
Yeah, but it's really funny because all the hotels were booked out, and there was this one big hotel that we were trying to get into. I forget the name of it, but it's in Central Oregon. And the manager said, oh, no, this hotel's been booked out for 3 years by Japanese couples that believe if they have sex, conceive during an eclipse, they'll have boys.
Really? So, oh, my God.
And they all had boys.
Really?
No, I was like, really?
I know.
How do
I
you
can't,
know?
I can't believe that.
But it's just like, that's another movie, but one I
They all had
made.
Aliens, actually.
Right. What the hell?
But yeah, it's just everything gets a bit upside down with the story. And then after our recce, our location scout, word got around that there was a film about a death cult, in a sense.
Uh-huh.
And so the police started looking for this death cult.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Like, no, it's just a film.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Cults freak me out, though.
Right.
Well, they would, you know. I mean, why not? They're weird.
Ours is a happy cult, though, because they believe that their souls are going to a place of a higher existence of happiness and joy. Like, they're happy.
Do people die? Like,
don't
do they kill
spoil
themselves?
The film.
Oh, just
don't
kidding.
Spoil the film.
Yeah, don't spoil the film.
I was like, okay, so everybody died.
Yeah. How long is the film? About 20 minutes or something?
18 minutes.
18 minutes, yeah. So, you see, you can give away a lot and ruin the film because, you know, it's a short film.
Yeah, right.
So, we won't talk so much about that, but... I'm definitely curious now to see the film, you know. I mean, it sounds like a unique type of experience, you know. I mean, I haven't really seen anything close to that, you know. Yeah. So,
and that's what we've been told by the audience, which has been amazing. So it was this very organic process, and then it all culminated with this filming of the sequence, this very emotional sequence during a real solar eclipse.
Right.
With two incredible actors. And after that was done, as Nusha said, everyone was in tears. We felt like we had been part of something that was something very powerful and unique. Mm-hmm. And that feeling somehow has manifested itself in the fabric of the film itself. And we've been really blessed with sharing the film with film festivals all over the world,
yeah,
and especially in the US, since January.
Yeah,
really? So you've been on the circuit and everything?
Really? The circuit's been a bit exhausting.
So the film was made last year?
Yeah, we shot the film in August. We finished the film in December.
Oh, okay. And so that's when it happened, in August of last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember something about it, but I don't know. To me, it wasn't a big deal. But you're saying many people, like, you couldn't even find a hotel or anything, right?
Oh, it was
huge. Wow.
I don't know where you guys were. Everyone asked you about
it. We were working.
I have no idea. I'm, like, literally trying to think of August. I was like, where was I? Yeah.
You got, like, sucked into the solar. Yeah, you don't even know what happened.
Yeah, I'm like, where was I? Probably crying over somebody in my bedroom. Like, didn't even know there was an eclipse outside.
Exactly.
Probably so.
You're like, why is it so intense? But it was actually just the energy of that coming through you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So where can people can't watch it, right? Because it's in the...
It is available right now online for free. Tatiana's been tweeting about it. It's on Vimeo. It's going to be released. It was a Vimeo staff pick. It's had like about 150,000 views so far in the last few weeks.
Nice.
It's going to be released on Dust, which is a YouTube platform, on Monday, and it's going to be released on another YouTube platform the following Friday, which is Omeletto. And so we've got this. We made it to share,
right?
You know,
right.
We didn't make it for any other reason than just to give it to the audience for free to watch.
Wow,
that's crazy.
No, yeah. It's an honor. You know,
it's crazy, but I mean, it gets them out there. You know, people will know about it and stuff, and it can pave the way for you for even bigger things. You know,
fingers crossed.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. So you're being considered for the Oscar.
That's what they say.
Wow,
that's a big deal.
It's a very big deal. You know, and then what? You compete with 10 different films or 5?
The way it works is, it's been this wonderful learning journey for us, because if you win a film festival that is Oscar qualified, then you're eligible to submit your film to the Academy.
Gotcha.
We
won
3 of them, which was nuts.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, there are so many amazing short films over the whole year, so it's just like... It's so subjective. It's never about the best film. It's always about the luck of the draw, essentially, who the jury is. So we were really lucky, and we won 3 of them, and we submitted. And so we're down to the last however many it is. I think it's about 100 or 140 films or
so. Oh, my God. That's a lot.
Yeah. And then on December the 16th, they announced the shortlist. So if this journey continues, then we'll know on that day. And then it goes to the nominations, then we'll see.
Very cool.
It's just been, regardless, this journey's been blessed. So
I can imagine.
That's a big deal to win.
Now, was this the first film you ever made?
No.
You made films before.
Yes.
So it wasn't new for you as far as what it takes.
I tell you what, it felt like my first film, because when we had a daughter, like... I think most parents will just probably understand this, but everything I was interested before... Suddenly, I just didn't give a crap about.
Really?
Right.
And all these things I had never any interest in, I was suddenly very affected by emotionally. And I felt this big emotional shift in my core. Uh-huh. And so every decision I made in terms of the stories I wanted to tell and where I was going to put the camera and the feelings of the film came from a very radically different place than where it was before.
Right.
So I feel like this is my first film, even though I've done a short film before, and I've made a feature film that was called Desert Dancer with the actress Frida Pinto. And I always felt that film, the actors did such an amazing job, but I struggled to find my voice.
Right.
And with this, it feels like I've kind of, no, that's how I want to do it.
Well, you feel like the love through the film. You feel your direction through that, which I think is what makes it so powerful. And then you also see... So I've seen the film now so many times. We've gone through the edits and Richard's a perfectionist. But still to this day, when I watch Tatiana's performance, I'm blown away. Every time I cry.
Really?
Every time.
Wow.
And
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. I mean, you just feel her emotion. And I was actually... had to be an extra in the background, and I'm not an actor by any means, but like, I had to
spoil the film.
But I'm not going to. But there was one moment with her performance, and like it like sent chills through your bones.
Yeah.
And it just stayed with you, because she was just so in it. Like I was blown away by her acting.
Very cool. So you guys are very fortunate to have a good cast as well.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
More than fortunate.
Yeah. And so this took you like 4 months or so, right, to put together, you said, from August till December?
The crazy thing was is that, you know, you get given a script. Now, normally you're working on a script for years before you would make anything.
Right.
So imagine 14 days before a solar eclipse, and you know you've got to spend four of those days rehearsing. So essentially you've got 10 days, and I've never shot in the United
That's
States.
That's true. It's first preparation.
Well, you guys don't live here.
Well, no, we do now.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm originally from London.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Duh. We got that.
Yeah. Yeah. But first, I thought you were too. It's like maybe you're picking up some of his accent, right?
Sometimes you sound. My mom's from Scotland, and my dad's from Iran, so I've got kind of this like strange accent, and I'm from upstate New York. And then I live with him. But our daughter actually has a British accent.
Oh, my God. Our daughter, really? She just started school, but she still goes, can I have water?
Yeah. That's very funny. And she was born here and grew up here.
She was born in Santa Monica.
Right. But kids speak what they hear at home, you know?
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. Except, thank goodness my kids did not come out with an accent, you know?
I think accents are cool.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean.
I would kill to have an accent.
Had me at hello. I was like, you will be mine. He's like, hello. I'm like,
hello. Hi.
So is that all it takes? I better learn British accent. Maybe I'll pick
There's
up a woman
about
then,
right? A British accent. Yeah. I can't explain it.
No, it's so true. I've met a few British guys. I'm like, hello.
Talk what to me doing? More.
Where did you guys meet?
Oh, there's an amazing story about how we met, actually.
Mm. He always says I make it really long, so I'll let you tell the story. He's a better storyteller than me. I'll give him that.
Yeah, give us the brief
give
version.
Give us a short version.
Yeah.
I'll give you the entertaining version, I hope. But okay, we have a friend in common called Omar, who is a polo player. And he was in Los Angeles playing polo, and he had to get a plane to go to Panama that day. So he said goodbye to me. He got on the plane. And his plane broke down on the runway at LAX.
Oh, no.
And there were no more planes to Panama that day. So he goes back to his hotel in West Hollywood, and he gets another night. And he thinks, oh, I'm here for another night. Oh, I'll see if Rich is around. He said, right. So he texts me. He goes, Rich, come, let's go swimming at the swimming pool. I said, okay, fine. He said, who else do I know? And he said, oh, my friend Nusha is here from New York for the weekend. She was here for a wedding. So he texts Nusha. So we meet at the swimming pool because his plane broke down. And Nusha turns around to me and goes, actually, we met last night. I was like, what? She goes, you were drunk walking out of a party. I walked in. You took my hand, spun me around, called me Tinkerbell, and left.
Wait, you didn't forget my part where I was like, okay, this is where the universe has pulled us together. So a month prior to that, one of my patients in New York said to me, because I'm half Persian, she's like, Noosh, you have to go see this film called Desert Dancer. I produced it, and you should meet the director. He's really cute. I was like, oh, I don't want to meet anybody, but I'd love to see the film. It sounds great. And meanwhile, a month later, that was him. And I was like, and I text her, I'm like, guess who I'm sitting next to? Richard Raymond. She's like, oh, I'll be speaking at your wedding. And fast forward. And then I also am 6 months. Oh, we're not saying that part either.
Oh, we might as well announce it now. She's pregnant again.
Oh, wow. Mazel tov.
Thank you.
We have a boy coming.
Whoa.
We're in the throes of our daughter is, her name is Rumi, after the poet. And so you can't call your son Ken.
Yeah.
No.
Or Bob.
Wait, are you calling him Ken?
No, no.
Oh, okay, I was like.
So this is like, we're trying to think of a name.
Do something that kind of rhymes with Rumi, so it's cute.
But then that would be tongue-tied, because you're going to have to say both their names back to all the time together.
Like, I know this couple that named their kids, they had two daughters, and I said dollars, they had $2, and they named them Melody and Harmony, and I was like, that's really
cute.
Oh,
that's
cute.
Really cute.
If you can do something that kind of, like, bounces off each other, because I don't know, like, maybe another great poet, but it's a guy.
My parents called our first two dogs Cola and Pepsi.
Oh.
Really? Oh, my God.
That's cute.
I remember that.
I was like Cola more.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's the universe really does bring people together.
But, you know, when you were talking about the story about the boy that seems to have been messing you around, you know, I think everyone who's single has so many of those stories in their life. And what I found was the minute that it's just right, you don't even think about it. You don't even try. It's just, it's like the perfect.
It's right
fit.
There, right?
It's right there.
Right.
And all you have to be is you have to be open to it. You have to be open to it. And don't be cynical and don't be closed off. Just be open to it because, you know, this lady changed my life.
Right.
I'm sure.
The most amazing ways.
This was sort of like, I mean, the universe set it up for you and stuff. If you had seen her at a restaurant or something, would you have made a move?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I want to know if you're that type of guy. I would go, wow, I'd really love that woman, but do nothing.
Tell the story you told me last night when I was giving you a face massage.
I'm not going to tell the face.
We want to know now. You got to say it now.
Don't put him on the spot. Come on.
She does facials. Uh-huh. And so she was like, oh, girl, I need to give you a facial for your radio interview. I just love it when my friend says, you've got a great face for radio.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, but it's terrible. No, you got a good face. We put you on Facebook, so that's a good enough indication.
She was giving me the matter. I said, you know what? If we had never met that time at the swimming pool, and maybe I was a client of yours coming in for a facial or something, then I would have, the next day, would have sent some flowers and a letter asking out for dinner.
Really? Yeah. Wow. Well, that's easier. I mean, you already broke the ice, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have been sleazy.
And I've been like, I don't date my patients.
And I would have quit as a patient.
I actually just saw that in the Lifetime movie. Some guy was like, can I date you? She's like, I don't date my clients. He's like, well, I'm no longer your client then. I was like, aw. Aw, pukey.
Lesson one in script writing. Don't write that line.
No. Actually, I met this guy who's like produces short films. And he told me he's giving me till January 1st to write a short film.
Great.
But I started writing a short film and I'm already 11 scenes in, and I'm like, this isn't a short film. Like, it's so, and I hate to burst my own bubble, it's really good.
I
reread it out loud last night. I was like, I'm really talented, I've just been sitting on this for like
so maybe
long.
It's a first draft, maybe you can make short film out of it, you never know.
No,
you know,
no way.
Okay,
I did like one of those stories where it's telling like five different people's stories that like he's just not into you. It's like five different characters, so it's like five different stories. There's no way I can make that like a 5-minute film.
So keep going. Yeah. Turn it into your feature.
Yeah, right,
there you go. Have you made any features before?
So just the one Desert Dancer.
Uh-huh.
With Frida Pinto, Tom Cullen, and Reese Ritchie, and that was the true story of the Iranian dancer Afshin Ghaffarian, who was a young man who I met in Paris when he was a political refugee. He's no longer that anymore. Mm-hmm. And he told me this story about how he started an underground dance company in Iran, in Tehran University, because in Iran it's forbidden to dance outside of the customary religious dance. The freedom of expression in Iran is really shut down.
Yeah.
And so, and what he performed, he and his friends used YouTube to teach them how to dance. And then they practiced and they became quite good. And they ended up putting on a dance performance 100 miles outside of Tehran in the middle of the desert.
Really?
And where the whole school would take a bus and come and watch them. But he got... Yeah. This happened at the time of the Green Movement in Iran in 2009, and he got arrested. He was imprisoned. He escaped, and he ended up fleeing to France, where he's now a star dancer in France. And now he's able to go back to Iran.
Really?
I would never go back.
Yeah, why would you want to?
Like, bye.
But it was an incredible story, and right. I was compelled to tell it as a film. And the actors were so amazing. They rehearsed for so long. Mm-hmm. We were rehearsing with one of the world's greatest choreographers, Akram Khan, in London, at one of the most prestigious dance places in the world called Sadler's Wells. Mm-hmm. And it was just like summer camp. It was amazing. And the film did great. And it was released in cinemas. It was on Netflix. It's now on Stars. So millions of people have seen it.
That's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it was
really cool.
Again, brilliant.
So what's next? What's the next move after this?
Well, I've been working for years on a film called 1,000 Paper Cranes, based on the true story of Sadako Sasaki, who was a young 2-year-old Japanese girl that survived the bomb of Hiroshima, but 10 years later developed leukemia from radiation poisoning. And she was only given a couple of months to live by the doctors, and she was a feisty girl. She didn't want to die.
Right.
She wanted to go to school with her friends. And she heard a myth that if you fold 1,000 origami cranes, the gods will grant you a wish. And her wish was to get better. So despite her condition, she set out to fold 1,000 cranes. And
what's a crane? Sorry.
A paper crane. Have you ever seen the origami
Mm-mm.
paper cranes?
Mm-mm.
24 folds. Beautiful little birds. Now I've said that you'll see them everywhere.
Right. Yeah, probably so.
And it's the story of the Canadian author that traveled through Japan, Eleanor Cole, that traveled through Japan and brought Sadako's story to the world as a children's book, which is in the national curriculum in most elementary schools in the Western world.
Right.
And And so it's the story of these two women that would unwittingly never meet, that would unwittingly work together to create a powerful symbol of peace in the paper crane. Mm-hmm. And there's, and it's the truth behind Siddhartha.
Right. Did she survive?
No, but what happened, she actually sacrificed, she got to 1,000, believed in the magic of the wish, and changed her wish to peace.
Oh, wow.
So no other child would go through what she's gone through. And the film tells that for the very first time. Most people,
goosebumps.
Yeah, it's the most incredible story. Yeah. And we're out to cast at the moment. But I have to tell you, you know, one of the things that's been very helpful is this short film, because it sells. Because if this does go all the way, then it's an incredible boost for getting that film
exactly.
told.
Right, exactly.
And that's the film we've been working on. And there's also been a lot of calls coming in to turn Souls into a feature film, which might happen. We'll see.
Yeah, that'll be very nice. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to continue to be a nurse and a producer? Or
yeah,
do you want to leave the nursing world?
I mean, I truly loved the whole creative process of being in doing it with Richard. I think that for me, I'll continue on that path.
Yeah, cool, cool. So, Richard, you were born in the UK, right? Where exactly? London?
North London.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was born in Edgware Hospital, which is no longer there.
Uh-huh.
Grew up in North London. I went to a Jewish boarding school called Carmel College, which is also no longer there.
That's crazy.
but I always felt like I wanted to come to the States. And 10 years ago.
Oh, very nice. And where were you born and grew up? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Binghamton, New York, in upstate New York.
Oh, really?
So my parents were both, my dad had come over from Iran and he ended up in Binghamton, and my mom had come over from Scotland.
Oh, wow.
And so my dad's still there and my mom's in New York.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. And your dad came here at what age?
When he was around 18.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's close to my story. Mm-hmm. I came here at 16.
He spoke zero English.
Yeah.
And I love the story of my mom. When my mom and dad, when he saw her, he spoke no English. He was becoming an architect. And the only thing he knew how to say was, "You are so beautiful. I want to draw your picture." And she had like blonde hair and blue eyes. And she's like, "Okay." And then they got, you know, they got married and they had their story, whoa, their love story. And then eventually, you know, now they're good friends. So I can say this like on a funny note. But when people are like, "So why did you get divorced?" She's like, "Well, eventually I learned English." But it's, you know, it's like, it's, they're a great friendship now. And,
do they either one of them find somebody new?
My dad. Yeah, he's been with his wife for about 15 years now.
Oh, wow. And your mom?
She is still on the market. If anyone's out there, she's
in New York.
She's a great Scottish woman.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Does she have an accent?
She does.
She does.
I love it.
Yep.
Scottish men are so sexy, too.
Okay. If you say
I swear I'm supposed to marry someone from another country for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I just need to like do that Julia Roberts Eat, Pray, Love and just bounce around so I find somebody that's like, "Stay." And I'm like, "You got it." I'm staying.
Do you have any siblings, Nusha?
I have an older brother.
Uh-huh.
He's amazing. He actually just moved to Boston. He has a one and
that's
a half.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Yes, he just moved to Boston with his wife and his 1.5-year-old. He's the best. His name is Shaheen.
Very
cool. Shout out to my brother.
Yeah, shout out to Shaheen. And you, do you have any siblings?
Yeah, I am the eldest of four, so I've got three brothers, all boys.
Well,
my poor mom.
I know, I was just going to say, poor mom.
Yeah, they probably kept trying for a girl, and after four, they're like,
done.
About
at
it.
My youngest brother, Shaya's wedding. That was the butt of the jokes. They were trying for a girl, but they got Shaya. Sorry, Shay. No, David Raymond is here living in Los Angeles. He is also a director and a producer. He just directed his very first feature film with Henry Cavill, who plays Superman, and Ben Kingsley, Sir Ben Kingsley.
Mm.
And that film is called No Miss, and it's coming out in theaters all over America in March.
Mm.
We're all very proud of it.
Yeah, looking forward to that. You know?
Superman's cute, so.
There she goes.
My brother took this gorgeous hunk of Superman and made him grow out his hair, put on a beard, and look tired.
Yeah, it's good, yeah. I love beards.
you'd like No Miss.
So we pretty much know what she wants. She wants a British guy.
Or Scottish. Yeah.
Or Scottish or Irish.
Yeah, or
anything
Irish.
With an accent, really.
Exactly.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't speak American.
Right.
I feel like American guys don't know how to treat women. I think like everyone from the UK or like not here knows how to treat women.
Because they're brought up that way.
No. Not a single one.
That's why.
Oh, no.
You guys are a good generation. The generation now, though, like, everybody cheats.
Oh, don't get me started. I don't like to hear those words.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell? Like, I'll see, like, people in the club. I'm like, you have a girlfriend. Oh, sorry, on social media.
Stop going to the club.
Yeah. You see, that's the first thing we keep telling her.
It's like the
that's
club,
a bad place to hang out.
You don't want
to
be in the club.
No, no. But I met this new guy at a
yoga
restaurant.
The ones who are at yoga are more open to just, like, you know, they're ready to just find their soulmate and kind of go on that nice journey with
you. Yeah, but I wouldn't be in yoga. I should probably start going to yoga because as soon as I turned 30, like, my body started to ache in ways. Like, I'm like, this has to be old age.
Right.
Like, even this morning, I woke up, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah, she's very old. You see? She thinks she...
Just wait.
I feel old.
She thinks she's old at 30, man.
I know, right?
Yeah, what am I supposed to say? God damn it, what, I'm ancient?
Heading up there, bud. Just kidding. You're young.
No, so I was wondering about Oregon, because I'll be moving to Oregon soon. And I wanted to ask you, where did you film this?
We filmed it in just outside of Madras, Oregon, in a place called Culver, which is about 30 miles north of Bend. Bend is a city in Oregon, which is my... I wish we could move to Bend.
Bend is beautiful.
Bend is beautiful. Bend is that town that you go to that everyone's car bumper sticker says, Bend is shit, don't move here.
They don't want anyone else coming.
They don't want anyone else coming.
Yeah, right. It's very cool. I'm actually moving on the coast. Did you guys get to go on the coast at all?
No,
oh, it's beautiful there, you know. So, but Oregon, all of it, I took a road trip there. I went from Portland to Bend to Eugene to the coast, and it's an amazing place, you know. I was just reading this morning that some 100,000 people moved there just last year or something, you know. And
when you look at the house prices here in Los Angeles,
not
100, 800. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, I found a freaking house on the lake, all right, like I always imagined and stuff. And I can afford it here. All I can afford is an apartment, you know.
The problem is if you're not from Los Angeles, and you move anywhere but LA, no one will visit you.
Right.
Right. people will come to the coast of
exactly. Oregon. I mean, a lakefront house and everything, and a beach and everything else. No, people will come, trust me. And if they don't, that's fine. You know,
you'll have the birds, your friend.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm moving there on purpose to be not around too many people, you know. I mean, it's just LA has gotten too fast, too busy for me, you know. Mm. I'm ready to slow down. So I'm moving to a town of 8,000 people, you know. Amazing. We'll see how long I'll last there, but we'll see, you know. I don't know.
That's crazy.
But anyway, but you enjoyed your time in Oregon, I'm sure, right? It's a beautiful country there.
I keep saying I want to go back. I mean, after Hanukkah, after Christmas, we want to be going back to give our daughter a snow experience, I guess.
Yeah. They have beautiful sunsets there, too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, oh, my gosh.
Maybe you guys aren't meant to be in LA. Maybe you're supposed to be somewhere else. I mean, LA's only a flight away.
Yeah, but this is where work is, you know?
I know. I
mean, this is where.
Get some more movies in, and then I'll go be in Los
When you retire.
Exactly.
Yeah, you retire.
Which will, hopefully.
Yeah.
Soon, yeah.
They got a long time.
I hope they're to retire closer, soon as well.
They're closer to your age than to mine. Relax, okay? They can stay in LA for a while. I've lived here 40 years, you know? I mean, there's a lot to do here, for sure, and definitely with the work.
That's a good, like, networking place, too. If you go to, like, the right events and meet the right people. It's like there's no other place to be but LA. I mean, maybe New York, but New York's so cold, and like that's you think LA is crowded. New York is like unreal.
Yeah, I lived in the city for almost 10 years, and that my last pregnancy, I was like, okay, this is the last winter I will ever do anymore.
Right.
So you have the one girl and the upcoming boy now.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations to you guys. We're totally out of time. Richard Raymond.
What a pleasure.
Nusha. Now, I was going to ask you, Nusha is a nickname, right? Is that?
No, that's my full name.
Because, you know, I have my in-laws, their daughter, they named her, they call her Nusha, but she's Danielle. So they went from Danielle to Nusha. I don't know how, but I don't know. Maybe Danielle-ish or something.
I know a few Persian girls with the name Nusha.
Really?
Yeah, that's their
And my dad's name's Anush, so I'm the female version of Nusha.
Yeah,
cute. Okay, very cool. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations to you guys.
Thank you. You're
amazing. Tell people where they can, again, see the movie.
Just Google Souls of Totality, and it will come up on Vimeo.
That's the easiest YouTube way to look for things. Yeah, yeah.
And enjoy it. It's available right now for free, and if we are blessed enough to go to the Academy Awards, then it will have to come offline. So you're only going to get a chance to watch it now.
Oh, very cool. And when you win, we invite you back. You know, even if you don't win, we invite you back. You guys are cool.
Sounds great. Thanks.
And if people want to find out more about the film itself, do you have a website or social media for it?
Just Souls of Totality on all and of it'll them, come on up. Everything.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Richard, Nusha, thank you so much for joining us.
For us.
It was a pleasant morning with you guys. Thank you, everybody. You save your tears for somebody who's worth it.
I know. I'll probably cry tomorrow for sure.
Okay, good.
But I'll be good.
Thank you all. Have a happy Thanksgiving tomorrow, and we'll see you all on Friday.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.